The following audio is brought to you by Emmanuel Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. More information about our church can be found at emmanueltuscaloosa.org.
This morning, we're going to begin just a little bit differently. So if you'll just bear with me as I read this. On Wednesday, September 10th, like most of you, I was shocked and devastated to hear the news of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. My sadness in the days that followed turned to anger as the details began to pour in. Some seemed to make excuses for his murder, as if he asked for it, while others seemed to celebrate it outright. I talked with many of you personally afterwards, and you shared my feelings of anger and sadness and speechlessness. I hope that you'll excuse the week and a half it's taken me to process all this so that I could address it, but I wanted to do it properly, and I'm afraid that all I had at the beginning was anger and probably nothing that would be of any help. Maybe there's some in this room who see it as a tragedy, but fail to see why it merits a mention on a Sunday morning. And you'd be forgiven for feeling that way because obviously tragedies happen quite frequently in our world, and few of those tragedies rise to the level of our attention in a Sunday morning worship service. But as we begin, I'd like to peel back the layers of the circumstance to explain why this tragedy is a little different, and why this one should really jolt awake every Christian from his pew, and then address what we as God's people should do about it. First, at the center of this devastation is a 31-year-old man who had a husband, who was a husband to a wife, who was a father to two small children, who was hunted and gunned down in the prime of his life. His wife, Erica, recounted coming home from the hospital for the first time after that fateful day to hear her 3-year-old daughter who ran up to her and said, "Mommy, I missed you. Where's Daddy?" There's a wife out there who no longer has a husband and two children who will grow up without their father because a 22-year-old man decided he didn't deserve to live any longer. It's a sin that brought ruin to a family. But then if we take a step back from that, we have to acknowledge that more happened here than just a murder. Every death is tragic. Death claims many lives every day. And if we stop to mention them all, we'd never do anything else. But we can't deny the impact that Charlie Kirk was having on the minds of plenty of college students in person, many more online. He stood for conservative ideals, and I don't mean simply limited government and a strong economy. That's certainly good, but I mean encouraging marriage, raising children, going to church, the kinds of conservative ideals that Christians must champion. In the same vein as, say, an ancient philosopher like Plato or Aristotle, who took their values to the town square and debated them with the wise men of the age, he stepped onto college campuses and debated students and professors and townspeople with the truths that God had hardwired into creation. He forced them to think deeply about the logical conclusions of atheism and where that's leading. His murder was significant because it felt like, I think to many of you, and certainly to me too, the end of civil discourse in this country. It feels like the beginning of the end, really, for this society. It feels as though the United States of America has crossed a Rubicon on a one-way street. And there's no going back. Although that alone might merit attention on Sunday as a national tragedy, I think there's a better reason that this should jolt us awake and provoke us to action. Charlie Kirk was a Christian. He was a brother in Christ. He spoke biblical truth to people in darkness. He stood not just for marriage, but for biblical marriage. For biblical manhood and womanhood. He reasoned from the scriptures to build a worldview that shapes how we view everything in life. He showed people how all of Christ applied to all of life. That includes even in the voting booth. And in spite of doing so, in a country that has enshrined freedom of speech and the freedom of religion in the First Amendment to its Constitution, he was killed for it. The reason that I think it should jolt every Christian awake is because it wasn't merely a tragic murder. It was martyrdom in every sense of the word. You would be forgiven for having heard the news and looking the other way because you heard the name Charlie Kirk and you placed it in the category of politics. And maybe you said to yourself, I don't get involved in politics. It's politics. Politics is nasty. In which case, for you, it might have taken up no more of your thoughts than the murder rate in a major city. It's a tragedy. It's sad. But it's the state of affairs of politics in our country. But let me urge you to reconsider your position. The martyrdom of Charlie Kirk is not that. Sure, he was heavily invested in politics. He started Turning Point USA to turn college students into conservatives and then help them to vote their values. But he did that by teaching them to think like Christians, to tell them what the scriptures mean, and to explain that to them, how God had created the world, why he created the world, what he aims to do in the world, and why it's important for our country that they not only give their lives to Jesus, but also vote like Christians. He spoke like a Christian. And by all accounts, of all the people that knew him best, he lived like a Christian. And he was hunted and killed specifically because of his beliefs, his Christian beliefs. His name was Charlie Kirk, but it could have been your name or it could have been my name. If only we had been so bold as to take the gospel to the masses. But that's precisely the point, isn't it? It wasn't Charlie Kirk that was the problem for his killer. It was the message that Charlie brought. The message of the cross of Jesus is good news and the power of God to those who are being saved, but to those who are perishing, it is a folly and a stumbling block. See, when you bring the gospel to the lost, you can't control the outcome. In the same crowd, some are saved, while others become more hostile toward God. Some praise the name of Jesus, while others load the gun. But Jesus himself said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Christian, this is not a time to shrink back. It's a time to be bold. You might have had the realization on the night of the 10th, when you went to bed, that you lived in a different country than you previously thought you did. But you don't. This is what often happens when God's people speak the truth. You do still live in the greatest country this world has ever known, and you still have more freedom to preach the gospel and to live out your faith than any Christian in history or anywhere else around the world right now. But it's time. It's time to take the gospel to that friend that you've been thinking about. It's time to tell your neighbor. It's time to lead. It's time to be bold. It's time to accept the consequences of living your faith out loud. Whether that's ostracism, the ruining of friendships, or even the end of your life. Charlie Kirk did that. And he gave up his earthly life as a consequence. But what waited for him was an eternal life that couldn't be taken away. In the words of Jim Elliot, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." This forces questions upon us that everyone must answer. Do you believe that God is so glorious that it's worth suffering and even dying in order to serve Him with your life? Do you believe that the life that Jesus died, the life that Jesus lived and died and was raised to provide for us the very best life that you could have now or in the age to come? Do you believe that man's greatest need is peace with God? Are you willing to go into the lion's den to proclaim Christ to those who are perishing in sin? This is what we at Emmanuel Baptist Church are committed to. We must be. We were bought with Jesus' precious blood and launched by Him into the world to bring our fellow man under the rule of God by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be so bold to join in a long line of Christian martyrs who, with our minds fixed on the hope that awaits us after death, go boldly into the world to declare the good news of Christ who forgives sinners. I would invite you right now, before we begin our service, to pray silently. Pray for the family that Charlie Kirk leaves behind. Pray for your own response. What is God calling you to? Who is God calling you to? Pray that God might stir in your heart to give your life for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray for Erica Kirk and the two children that Charlie left behind. Would you comfort them? Would you lead them by your Holy Spirit? Would you surround them with your people that they might have sound counsel? Would you care for these precious children? Give them a multitude of godly men and women that they might look up to and lean on. As they grieve, would you console them? As they get older, would you remind them that their father did not die in vain, but gave his life for the truth of Christ? We pray also for the impact that his death has had on so many. We pray for the atheist that's now reconsidering Christ. Would you give them eyes to see Christ? We don't pray for mere patriotism or conservative ideals in a loose sense. We pray for the hearts of men and women to be transformed by the gospel, and that those people would be born again as a new creation in Christ. That's what we want. We pray for our church, that we might speak boldly, with confidence and humility, that our speech would be seasoned with salt, but that we wouldn't shrink back or swallow our tongues any longer, but with grace and mercy leading the way, we would impart the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and through our words, that you would give sight to the spiritually blind. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand for our responsive call to worship. There's going to be a reading and response. I'm going to read on the screen the first passage, and then you're going to read the passage that's marked for the congregation. These passages are taken mostly from Revelation, one from the Gospel of Luke. It's regarding the affliction of the martyrs and what we can expect as followers of Christ. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves have been. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great.
Thanks for listening. If you live in the Tuscaloosa area and are looking for a church, we'd love for you to visit. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday nights at 6:15.